Welcome to the Handy Guys Podcast, where we work together to complete that honey-do list, featuring answers to your questions and head-to-head tool challenges. Let's get started with the show with the Handy Guys, Brian and Paul.
All right, welcome to the Handy Guys Podcast. This is episode number 33, and in this episode, we're going to respond to a couple listener questions and comments, and we're also going to talk about fall tree care, you know, taking care of those trees in your yard.
That's right.
And I'm sure, Brian, you've been thinking hard about that topic.
I've cut a few down recently. That's not really tree care, though.
Right. Well, I guess, you know, if you had some dead trees, it could be part of your tree care protocol. But today we're going to talk about taking care of the ones that you want to stay remaining in your yard. But before we do that, let's give out our contact information.
Okay. You can always call us at area code 615-676-0877 or go to the contact us link on our website, www.handyguyspodcast.com.
If you use that link, make sure you at least give us your first name so we can, you know who you are if we're going to refer to your question.
Sure.
Or if you email us, you don't have to give us, you know, your total, you know, all your information. We don't need your medical records or anything like that.
No, nothing like that.
And if you do give us your first and last name, you know, we won't use your last name.
Right.
But
and we do always get back to you. We may not use the question on the air in a future episode, but we always will get back to you.
All right, let's talk about one of the comments we received way back when, one of our earlier shows. We did a show on closet organization, and we talked about everything from using the wire shelving organizers that you can buy at your big box stores on the one end of the lower end price-wise, but not necessarily cheap, but lower. And then on the high end, we talked about cabinetry, you know, getting custom-made cabinets for your closets, right, Brian?
That's right.
And as a result of that podcast, someone came across it recently. And by the way, you can listen to all of our podcasts, right, from the entire year.
That's right.
And this person, let's see.
Tom.
Tom, thank you, Brian. Tom came across the podcast organization, and he suggested a different product. And this is an interesting product. It's from John Lewis Home. You can see this shelving system at johnlewishome.com, and we'll post a link on our website. But what's interesting about this product is it's an organizational system much like the wire shelving, but it has some of the looks and appearances of a little bit higher-end cabinetry.
That's right. And you can get it at a place called Rockler, and they've got all kinds of neat hardware and tools and things like that. But they ship it to you in a box, so it's one single kit. You kind of specify, you know, how many drawers and shelves and hanging space and all of that you need, and then you put it together, and in it goes.
And what's cool about it is, you know, you can pick various wood species for the finish, some darker woods, some lighter woods, and it uses kind of a slat system. So they're not closed shelves, but they have a nicer look than just wire shelving. So because they're more open, they allow air to flow, which is better for your clothes, possibly, and you don't have all that mold growing like in your closet, Brian.
Or I don't have mold growing in my closet. What are you talking about?
And, you know, moths and everything breeding in there and rats and other stuff.
Oh, great.
But, you know, and so you have that air circulation. But again, you know, it just doesn't have that kind of cold, harsh look of the wire shelving. And the pricing is closer to the wire shelving end of the spectrum than the custom, you know.
Yeah, so it's a good middle of the road, and it's a good project for a handy guy or handy gal to do it yourself. So go ahead and check that out.
Now, the one thing that I wasn't sure about is that you can go to the John Lewis Home. That's the company that produces the product. Or you can go to Rockler, as you mentioned, to actually buy it. It's one of the online distributors I found. But the one thing is it comes in a kit set up for, say, a 10-foot length walk-in or reach-in closet. If it's 10 foot wide, you have this kit, or if it's less, you can cut it down to size.
Sure.
The problem is, what if your closet is 14 feet wide? It's not obvious how you make this thing or how you customize it to fit a closet that's larger. And they have some links here.
Do you have a 14-foot closet?
Yeah, I think it's longer than... Yeah, yeah, come on now. I got this, 10,000-square-foot home of mine?
Right.
But no, my closet's kind of funny. It's a rectangular, so it's not real deep, but it's wide. And so I was looking at this, and I wasn't real sure how I'd have to customize it. I'd have to get some additional pieces, but the kits that they sell, I'd have to get a kit for 10-foot, then a kit for smaller, and it wasn't obvious how I configure this. So what I would like to see them do, John Lewis Home, is, you know, create a site where you can put in your dimensions of your closet, like some of the other custom cabinet, sites do, and then they can recommend which pieces you need to get to fill in the space.
Sure, so that's going to get pricier, though.
Yeah, get a little pricier, but you could still put together these pieces they already have.
Right.
And then, again, you may have to do some cutting down or whatever, but, you know, I'm willing to do that.
So is that on your honey-do list for your Christmas gift to your wife?
You know, I'm looking at this product. When I get around to doing my closet, I'm going to seriously consider this because the price is right. It's a lot cheaper than the custom cabinetry, which I'm not going to be able to afford. So I kind of like it.
Why don't you just build it all yourself, customs from scratch?
Because maybe we want John Lewis to sponsor one of our shows.
Oh, okay.
So if you're listening, you know, let us know. Give us a ring. Anyway, it's a good product. Check it out. And if you have any experience with it, please let us know. We'd love to hear about it. All right. We also have one other question we got, Brian, and that was a question about our lawnmower engine care. We talked about spark plugs, replacing spark plugs.
Right, and general maintenance, spring tune-up of your lawnmower and so forth.
But that was way back in the spring, but I guess you could still do it now.
That's right. So Bonnie sent us a note, and she said, how do you know what size spark plug? Are there specific ones for different lawnmowers? Well,
do they have like a 12 volt and a 6 volt?
No.
Triple A, double A?
No, nothing like that. But there's about one or two kind of common ones. I'm going to do this off the top of my head, but CJ8, I think, was one from Champion. But there's lots and lots of different spark plugs. The best way is to just take your old spark plug out and take it with you to the store, and they'll have a little chart. Like, let's say you have a Champion and they sell Bosch spark plugs, right? So then you can look up the cross-reference between the different numbers. If you don't have your old spark plug, that's where it can get a little more complicated. So then get out your owner's manual. But if you don't have your old spark plug, it's likely you don't have your owner's manual either. So what can you do?
Can you just go ask your big box store sales clerk for some help on this?
No. No.
They just don't get paid enough to answer those kind of questions.
No,
right?
They don't.
That's why you come to the handy guys.
That's right. So figure out what kind of engine on your mower. So if it's a Briggs & Stratton engine, a Tecumseh, a Lawn Boy, a Kohler, whatever it is. And each of those manufacturers has a website, and you can put in the model number of the engine and figure it out from there.
So it's usually on your engine itself, somewhere on it is a tag with a model number,
Right. It'll
horsepower.
Say, right, exactly. Right. And then go ahead and look it up. So Bonnie got back to us. She says, oh, I got the old spark plug. And she took it into the hardware store and found a match.
Does it matter where you take it? Do the big box stores have all the spark plugs, or you need to take it to a more specialized place?
The big box stores are going to have your spark plugs for your common lawnmowers.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So there you have it. There's how you replace that spark plug. If you're fortunate like myself, you have a mower that's now like 10 or 12 years old, and it's been using the same spark plug ever since I bought it. So
right. So you didn't listen to the show on spring tune-up tips
I did
for
not.
Your mower.
No, that cheap mower just keeps on running, man.
Good
All right.
For you.
Up next, we're going to discuss fall tree lawn care.
Lawns.
What? What did I say? Lawn care?
Fall tree care.
Fall tree care, yeah. It's in my lawn, so it's a tree lawn care. In that segment, we're going to talk about how to take care of your trees. We'll be back in just a moment.
You're listening to the Handy Guys Podcast.
All right, we're back. And Brian, you know, I know that you haven't probably been spending a lot of time thinking about trees because, after all, we just had a show a couple weeks ago on fall lawn care, and we've been talking about how to make your lawn look nice and green and ready, you know, to get through the winter. But who's been thinking about trees?
Actually, I did a little bit of pruning on a couple of trees, but thanks for asking.
You did, so that's good. But, you know, trees haven't been on my mind until I came across an article at Home Improvement Time, a website that puts out articles on do-it-yourself and various projects and products around the home. And there was an article about how to take care of your trees and how fall is a good time of the year to, you know, maintain your trees, do some
pruning and things like that.
Yeah,
sure.
And I'm like, well, you know, I probably should do that. I have a few trees and I'd like them to grow and to be strong, but I had no idea what it was I'm supposed to be doing with them.
Okay, well, let's hit a few of the points in this article. So the first one, First point that they make is put composted organic mulch under your tree in the early fall or in the fall or early winter to help retain water, reduce temperature extremes.
Sure.
It acts like a blanket.
Oh, okay. And that probably, you know, holds in the moisture and, like you said, it protects the base of the tree. Now, where do I get organic mulch?
Do I need
one of those big bins that I throw all my junk garbage in?
No. You can get mulch at your home center in bags. There's places that deliver it by the truckload, depending how much you need.
Okay.
And in my town, I can actually go to a recycling center where they take all of the lawn waste, yard waste, tree clippings, and things like that, and they turn it into mulch for you. And it's free. You just go on Saturday mornings and pick up as much as you need.
Neat. Now, I would assume that this is particularly important for newer trees, younger trees. You know, your big old oaks don't really care if
you're
sprinkling stuff around.
200-year-old oak, it's not going to matter. But, especially the younger trees. And you want to make sure you don't pile it up too thick around the base of the tree or around the trunk of the tree. If you look right at the bottom of the tree, there's a kind of a transition between the roots and the trunk itself, and it's they call it the bark collar, or it's like a little ring around the base. You don't want that covered up with mulch because you can suffocate the tree if it gets in there too thick and too much dirt. You often see people will mound up the mulch a little bit more around the outside and then not right in the middle around the bark, and that helps hold the moisture or hold in the water, keep it from running off, and also won't suffocate your tree.
Okay, so in addition to that, obviously it's helpful. You can actually water your trees around here. I know we've not really had much rain in the last 4 weeks, so it would be a good opportunity to just, you know, put the hose right over the base and give it a big drink.
That's right, because after you put that mulch on, you're going to have it, like I said, a little bit higher around the outer edge, you know, so that maybe some of that water doesn't run off. And you can just put your hose right there, no sprayer or anything, and just turn it on a low trickle and let it run for an hour or two and just give it a deep drink. Once it's not soaking in the ground anymore, you know you're good enough.
Right, and it's interestingly, in this article, it actually says you can continue an occasional watering program for your trees even into the winter as long as the soil is not frozen.
Yep.
Okay, so, and prune your trees. You mentioned pruning.
That's right.
This is the good time to prune. I know one arborist told me that the main reason is because you can see the branches. So you can
When the leaves are coming off, you can see. And obviously at any time of the year, you can prune out the dead stuff if you have dead branches. And also if you have a branch that's going in sort of a funny direction, maybe crossing across several other branches and rubbing, kind of one that's out of place, go ahead and prune those out. And you'll be good to go. And you prune it right near the trunk, kind of right where it's growing off of another branch. You don't prune it kind of out in the middle.
Right. And you don't want to go too crazy with the pruning either. You want to keep as many of the branches, just like you say, get rid of the dead stuff and maybe some oddball branches that are sticking out, kind of funny.
And then also on some of my trees, which are, smaller trees, maybe 15, 20 foot tall at most, I had some funny little things growing out of the trunk, you know, down near the base. And I didn't want ultimately branches there as the tree matured. So I pruned those off as well.
Sure. All right. And finally, preventing mechanical injuries. Breakage or splitting can be caused by ice and snow accumulation or chewing and rubbing by animals. Prevent problems from occurring on young trees by wrapping the base of the trees in a hard plastic guard or metal hardware cloth.
Wow. I think the
burlap maybe.
I think the biggest potential for damage, at least for me, is my power tools. You know, my weed whacker or my mower, you know, knocking into the tree and taking a hunk out of the trunk. So yeah, keep those string trimmers away from the base of the tree.
Yeah, I imagine if you had a small tree, you know, a deer could do a lot of damage to it as well.
Absolutely. My dog does a good job keeping the deer away, but other people may not be so lucky. And even squirrels can chew on branches and things like that.
Oh, yeah, that's true. And finally, is there anything else we need to do as far as our tree care? Seems fairly easy so far.
Yeah, if you're going to put that hardware cloth on there, just make sure you loosen it up or take it off in the spring because you don't want the tree to start growing into and around that hardware cloth.
I wonder, you know, one of the problems I see with young trees is that sometimes they're not growing straight. And I don't seem to get, you know, I seem to get different opinions. You know, I see some people that tie them up and stake them to try to redirect them. And we had that, we tried that for a while. It didn't seem to help. And the more I read is that you shouldn't do that anyway. I'm not real sure. What do you think of that?
I don't know. I mean, when you first plant a tree, obviously,
you can train it then when it's
right.
Really
you're going to train it, but make sure you plant it straight to begin with. But then those stakes and a couple of guides will help hold that ball tree in place while it gets established.
Right.
So your first year or maybe two, you know, leave those stakes and guides in there until it gets planted well.
So if you have a 5 or 6 year old tree that's really crooked, you're right. You're going to have to live with it, I think.
Yeah. They're still going to grow, and they may end up growing straight after
yeah.
a while.
Could straighten out. That's true. I just wish it would grow a little faster. All right. Well, that's all we have.
Hey,
on...
I got one more thing on trees.
Oh, you have another thing.
Where can you get some trees?
Well,
I mean, obviously you can go to your nursery and so forth, but I've found two different places for getting trees for free.
I know one of them.
All right, which one do you know?
Was it, what is it, the Arbor Day Foundation?
That's right.
That's right, so, my favorite holiday.
Right. Okay. So, yeah, you can go to Arbor Day Foundation. They'll send you little trees that you can plant and mature. They're very small.
Yeah, they're online, and you can Google it, Arbor Day, and they'll give you the saplings. Yeah, like you said, is it? I thought there was a small, like, 10 for $10 to pay for shipping or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, maybe
there.
That's it. You pay it's, for, it's like, $10 or something.
Free but, or nearly free.
Right. And then also, in some townships around here, they actually have programs to beautify the streets
sure.
and things like that. And they have my township has a shade tree program, and you can contact your township and request a shade tree.
Right.
And if you get approved, if you're on a street that doesn't have a lot of trees or whatever, they'll come out and plant a shade tree for
oh,
you.
Oh, really? That's yep. pretty neat. I need to look into that in my township. All right. Well, that's good advice. I know that you just need to have a lot of patience with those saplings.
But, yeah, you want to hear my story on the saplings, Paul?
I'm not so sure, but
well, I got the,
was there blood involved?
No,
any injuries?
No, nothing like that. But I got my 10 trees from Arbor Day Foundation, and followed the instructions for planting them. And what they tell you to do is kind of plant them like you'd be planting, you know, plants in a garden. So they're all kind of together in one spot for a year. Maybe it was 2 years, mm-hmm. and then transplant them to where you ultimately want them. Because they start out only 12 to 24 inches tall.
Sure.
And I did that, and they got pretty dang big, probably too big for the space I had them in after the 2 years. And I transplanted them, and they just didn't make it. It was probably my fault. I probably either let them get too big in the small area, or once I did transplant them, I didn't do it correctly or
right.
didn't give them enough water or whatever. I think I have maybe 2 out of the 10 left that are still trying to do something, but I think I need to water them.
Yeah, you probably should, and maybe some of these other tips we already mentioned that you'll finally get around to this fall.
Yep.
All right, well, that's all we have about tree care. Thanks for listening to our show, and we'll be back next week with another great show, the Handy Guys Podcast.
Hey, quick mention, if you're going to be in the Philadelphia area, Paul and I are speaking at PodCamp September 6th and 7th in Philadelphia.
So that'll in 2 days.
That's right. Once this show goes live, it'll be in 2 days. So it'll be this Saturday, the Saturday after this show goes online. So if you're in the area, come check us out.
All right, see you next week.
Bye.